Let's give more love to Jeff and Julie and Beth. Don't go back to sleep. Okay, it's your time to stay awake. So I think it's time for all of us to wake up. It certainly was for me this week. So my talk title is Self-Evident Truth Within You. However, the whole month of March is rooted in the divine, and we finally have the picture that we wanted to start the month out with. So we're going to keep it up there because I really like it. Anyway, it helps us to remember that there's so much more of us that is unseen, that part of us that is in that divine, in the beloved essence of a greater sense of who we are as individual expressions of the one life and the one power. So as you look at that, just remember, I needed to be reminded this week. So I'm going to start out from our Science of Mind magazine. And I usually don't read this section, but this week I did. And it's called Murphy's Dogma. And it's written by the dog. So here goes. I don't shop, buy clothes, search the internet for a good restaurant, or make reservations, drive for hours, or pay to park. Everything I eat is fast food. I don't drive to or from work in heavy traffic 5 days a week. I don't pay bills, raise kids, or pay taxes. Since I'm not busy, it's not hard to find time to be your best friend. I just wanted you to know how grateful I am that I don't have to live a human life. I wish there were a way that you could live a dog's life. I think there is an invisible fence around you that is higher than the one you put around me to keep me safe. Funny how fences erected to keep people and dogs safe can also keep life they were meant to live and enjoy just out of sight, out of reach. That's from Murphy's Dogma. I liked it because fences represent life's events that take us off of our divine center, limits our faith, challenges our trust, challenges us of what we really believe in. Actually, it undermines the truth. Fences, effects, events pop up out of seeming nowhere. And last week, I was truly affected by the fences in my circumstance. And I was totally affected by the effects. I went and picked up my taxes. And in doing so, I was totally taken off guard because the person who does our taxes, she's really great. And I go there, and they always, show you what they've done and the amount we had to pay. And I was told that due to the new law that has just gone into effect, the perk I have received as a minister was no longer available. Therefore, the reason for the very large amount that I had to pay was because of that. Spiritual leader, as I left the office, was not anywhere to be found in me. I wouldn't describe myself as spiritual leader at that moment. Anybody go there anytime, anywhere? Okay. I let politics, I let judgment, I let you name it come in that place that was against me, and the anger and the et cetera, whatever that et cetera was, blinded me. I would like to say that I immediately called myself back, but I didn't. I was so wrapped up in my stuff that when a homeless man asked me in front of Starbucks that I was going into, if I had some money to give him a cup of coffee, I used the app on my phone and all I had was my phone. I said, no, please come in with me. I'll buy you a cup of coffee. When we got inside, the man said, can I have a macchiato? Now, the spiritual leader would have said, sure, you can have whatever you want because that's what I teach. Ask and you shall receive. And do you need some food? What do you need? However, remember the spiritual leader wasn't available. So I was really, however, was really fenced in. And I was focusing on the deep effects of poor me and my life. And I said, sorry, buddy, just accept the coffee. Sorry, buddy, you don't know that the last snowflake that you just dropped on that twig broke it. I didn't say that. But I said, no, just have your coffee. I was so embarrassed later on, not then, that was my response to the effects of what was presented to me about life. I had to call my practitioner. And my practitioner said to me, number one, Maggie, you're being really hard on yourself, and you did at least buy him a cup of coffee. I said, yeah, I did. However, my practitioner asked me, what did I learn as I looked at that today? What would you do differently? And can you forgive yourself? Wow. So wherever we find ourselves and when we misplace our energy or our attention, can we just stop in that moment and forgive ourselves and say, what is it that I wished I could do differently or I would have liked to instantly have done differently? What we hold against ourselves is truly the fences that we set up. You see, we all do it. We all can learn from it instead of beating ourselves up. And I realized as I spoke to my practitioner that I had really beaten myself up for allowing my focus to get off of that I know to be true. That's part of being human. So I believe that when this happens, what we need to do is ask ourselves the question, am I exacerbating an issue by controlling or wanting it to be different or looking at it from a judgment point of view? What am I doing? Am I judgmental about this? Yes, I was. What am I giving power to in that moment? Certainly not the God of my being. But that effect, taxes or my trust in God as my source. Because of the tax bill, I have forgotten that I was rooted in the divine. Have you forgotten that anywhere along the path of life? And yesterday, as I drove to the funeral that I was doing down in Novato, I was listening to the young people on the radio speaking up. And they didn't blame and they didn't shame and they didn't call anybody names. But what they did was they focused on the results that they want. They just want the freedom to go to school and not be afraid. And they want to be able to go in the freedom and the safety to learn and to grow. And they were awe-inspiring. And as I listened to them, I went, whoa, I didn't do that. And I hadn't been shot at or afraid for my life. And when we start believing that we are victims of all the experiences around us, we get caught up in the effects of the world. And we need to see what's going on as what can we do to make a difference? What can we do to make that a safe place? You know, we don't have to get involved in politics. We just have to say, how can we make this right? How can we open the gate, the fences that we have, right and wrong and good and bad? I didn't hear any of those kids saying that. And see, I wasn't watching television. I wasn't there. I just got to hear their voices. See, we are free at any time to align with the self-evident truth that lives within us. The omnipresent, omniactive truth within is sufficient to free us from any bondage. So what they're doing and what we need to do when we find ourselves stuck in a place is, what is the outcome we wish to see? What is the result that works pretty much for everybody? That will free us from any bondage of momentary distractions, my side, your side, right side, wrong side. What can we do to make a difference? And to know the truth and to allow that truth to set us free in our own personal life and in the life that of others. See, because truth is unchangeable. Truth is the foundation, the eternal that never changes. Let's remember, we are each rooted in that divine, magnificent presence. And maybe we can't always see the answers in the moment, but let's remember to call ourselves back to this life, this moment, that there is a solution that will work for the highest and greatest good of all concerned. And that no matter where we find ourselves or the surprise that we end up getting, that we stop and we breathe and we say, okay, there is one source, and that source is God, and that source is my life now. And that same source is the source that will also guide everybody through keeping our kids safe. We are each so much more than any old fence of belief. And I believe we need to see that not only in our own life, but in the life of the world and all humans everywhere. Let's take that to prayer. And so just take a breath. Recognizing that there is only one life, one power, one all-loving, all-nurturing essence, and it is the life that lives within me. For I recognize that I am the beloved place where God shows up. And I'm reminded again and again and again and again. And what I know is true of me is equally magnificently and beautifully true of each and every one of us here today, all of humanity. And so we recognize that there is a greater truth within each one of us that is beyond circumstances, beyond fences, beyond situations. And we focus on that truth and we allow that truth to expand and to grow and to call us into a greater expression of who we are and whose we are, the beloved place where God reveals its true essence of our own divine nature. And from the foundation of this, we walk out into life and express and experience who we are in a greater way, in a more loving way, in a kinder way, first for us, and then for all the people that we meet and come into contact with. And where there's a need for a healing, we call forth that miracle-working power of God to remind us, to renew us, to refresh us, to guide us into the right and perfect solution for all people. This is the truth I know. And given this and so much more than what I can ever say in words is already taking place in the mind of God, I trust this. And I just release my word into that ever-living, loving law of God that always says yes. Returning to and through each and every one of us, multiplied, magnified, spilling over. We are full of it, and we're proud of that. And if you're in agreement, please join me in saying, and so it is.
So it is.
So it shall be. Amen.